Good morning, everyone. We are benching Chodesh Tammuz this Shabbos. So I would like to tease out an integral theme to Chodesh Tammuz. And really the art of tracing a theme is when we see how the threads weave together as a cohesive tapestry. We see the scope, an idea, a motif constantly reemerging, and that's Be'ezus Hashem, what we're going to pursue this morning. Tammuz we associate with the summer months, and I must say locally, we feel it, right? Heat is on. Heat index was over 100 yesterday, for much of the day yesterday. And this is true in the Northern Hemisphere from a Torah perspective, when the year is divided into four seasons, or as Chazal called them, four tkufos. Tkufos Tammuz, corresponding to Tammuz, Av, and Elul, is seen as the summer tkufa. So the climate is hot, but there's more to heat than simply a weather phenomenon. Heat is a midos phenomenon, and we see it. There's a certain intensity, certain irritability we associate with the heat, as opposed to a cool, calm disposition, right? Heat also connotes passion. I think you see when it's hot, some people are on a much, how should I put it, shorter leash, less in control. There's a certain intensity, irritability. All of that is the Midah of Tammuz. This is brought to life by a very powerful pasuk. There's a pasuk which explicitly mentions the word Tammuz, and Rishonim, including the Ravid and his Pirush to Sefer Yetzirah, see this pasuk as depicting the month. It's a pasuk, believe it or not, about idolatry. There was an idol, some sort of heat idol, called fire god, called Tammuz. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel Perikhas, pasuk Yedalad. Hanoshim yoishvais mevakos es ha-tamos. The women were sitting and making the Tammuz cry. The Tammuz idol. Rashi explains this idol was a face, as many idols were, and it had lead eyes, these eyes made out of lead, and they would ignite a fire within the eyes to convey an image of the idol crying, right? That somehow the steaminess, the heat, would convey an image. Right, again, they would light the fire behind the lead eyes and the melting lead and the dripping molten lead, liquefied molten lead, somehow had an image of crying. That is what this month is about. Heat, crying, intensity. You see it here, right? Perhaps associations with the inferno of Chorban, the fire of Chorban Beis HaMikdash as well. And let's appreciate this. It's not simply a stupid idol, a stupid getchka. We know the pagans were much more sophisticated than we give them credit for. They were in touch with metaphysics. They were in touch with kochos, mazalos, in the Bria, in Hashem's creation. Their heresy was that they gave these forces autonomous existence without appreciating their facet of divine emanation. Right? But they were idolizing forces in the world. There's a force called Tammuz, which they were idolizing, and that's what this month is about. Right? Fire, heat, intense emotion, crying. It all comes to vivid life in this idol. Everything this month is about, and what heat is about on a deeper level. Irritability, emotional provocation, physical heat. And I would bring this out from the mazel of the Chodesh as well. What is the mazel of Chodesh Tammuz? Tsartan, which is translated as a crab. Here in Baltimore, the Mid-Atlantic, we are in the right region, right? It's not a lobster, but it's a crab. What is the midah of a crab? One of the inyana, which Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, Shem Yishmol and others, they say that when Bali Taiva wanted to inflame their passions above and beyond, they would eat from a crab. Okay, a crab was apparently a stimulant to to excessive taiva. I would not be able to tell you, right? The people on the Eastern Shore, are they more passionate? We'll put it that way. Are they more passionate than people here in the greater Baltimore area? I do not know. But conceptually, whether in the case of lust, frustration, the intensity of passion, heat, losing of equilibrium, and keeping it all together and keeping it all constrained is emerging. I want to bring this out from yet another aspect as well. It's we have a pasuk in Devarim which speaks of hunger pains. Ma'azei rav. The Ibn Ezra says the word ma'azei is in the word tam, is heat. Because hunger pains are not simply a physical phenomenon. When a person has a pang of hunger, there's something overwhelming. They become delirious over a hunger pang. Tamas mazeh is conveying a loss of equilibrium and an inflaming feeling, emotion, passion. It's a month of intense feeling, which I would correlate as well to what we're told in Sefer Yetzirah. And Sefer Yetzirah correlates each month with a different chush, with a different bodily sense or a different bodily faculty. And most Gersos and Sefer Yetzirah say Chodesh Tammuz is connected Re'iyah, vision. I'm going to suggest Re'iyah here is not simply connoting physical sight, but what Re'iyah represents. Re'iyah is the most vivid of Chushim. Sight is much more vivid than Shmiya, than listening, right? An image is powerful. And we really find already in the writings of the great Reb Tzadok, Reb Tzadok writes that Re'iyah represents Hergish. When a person is so in tune with something, some sort of stimulant, I see it, it's alive, right? Speak to anyone who has some sort of emotional trigger, and whatever it's triggering, I see it, that stigma from my youth or whatever, I see it, right? Re'iyah is vivid. Reb Tzadok believes that Shmia, hearing, is a muscle for a much more association with a much more abstract concept. He says, when you're thinking about something in a cold clinical way, there's a certain distance between you and the idea. You're a shomed, you're listening, you're absorbing. Part of being a good listener in a conversation is not only the passivity and even an active listening, but the certain distance. I'm listening, I'm cool, I'm calm, I'm collect. Shomed is a very composed place relating to something. Re'i, on the other hand, Reb Tzadok sees as hergish. I see it vividly. I'm going to suggest this brings to life Tammuz as a chodesh of Re'iyah. It's a chodesh when we feel very, very deeply. Fire. Alive. And it's powerful. Now, the pasuk describing the idol. This is an idol with eyes, with big lead eyes, which are tearing up. Re'iyah. Emotion, you see how the pieces are all coming together. Another really beautiful thread woven into this cohesive tapestry is the association with the Shevet of the month. The Arizal teaches that the 12 Chadashim are connected to the 12 Shvatim, just as the 3 Regalim were taught in Chazal are connected to the 3 Yavas. The 12 Chadashim are connected to the 12 Shvatim. Of course, as with every good Yiddish discussion, there's a machlaikas how you correlate them, but the mahalach of the Arizal and the Gra is k'seder ha-degolim. They're not in birth order, the correlations. They are in the seder of the degolim, the order of Bnei Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. So according to the Arizal, Chodesh Tammuz is k'neged shevet Re'uvein. Why Re'uvein? Well, now it should be so apparent why. First of all, Re'uvein is milashim re'iyah. Sing. Ra Hashem ba'anyi. Not only is Reuven connected vision, Re'iyah, but we're talking about a Re'iyah of feeling and empathy. It's in his name. It's in the formative circumstance of his birth. Leah said when her first son Reuven was born, Hashem saw in my pain. I was a reject, right? With everything conveyed in that story, everything so emotionally evocative in that story of Rachel and Leah and the two sisters and the rivalry and who's the rejected one, who's the beloved one, right? And I felt like the rejected one. Now I have a child. Hashem has seen in my pain. It is in his name and the formative experience of his birth. The fusion of Re'iyah along with emotion, feeling, empathy. This is not a cold, clinical, detached God, but to the contrary, Hashem is Ruah Ba'ani. And let's appreciate deeply the impact of the name and the mitzvah. This is not only his name, but Reuven is the consummate feeler. Classic story where this comes out. What happens? Right? When Rachel Imenu dies, and Yaakov Avinu moves his ben and the locus of his intimate life to the tent of Bilhah, right? Bilhah, right? Yaakov has his own Ava for the loss of Rachel, and Bilhah's the fill-in, and that's how Yaakov's a few matrigas are coping with the loss, right? But Reuven takes up for whom? His mother. My mother's rejected again, right? And he moves the bed, right? Preserving his mother's dignity. Now, don't you see how this story, for which he is forever castigated and faulted for, Yaakov criticizes, on his deathbed, criticizes Reuven for this, right? Don't you see how clearly this is the mitzvah of Reuven? Empathy, feeling the pain of the distressed. And so clearly it is a deja vu to the formative experience of his birth, because it's again his mother Leah who's been persecuted, or he's perceiving the persecution. And really it's the raw ba'ani. It's that original pain of being the reject. Yaakov loves Rachel. What does it say about my mother? Right? It's that, literally that story of the circumstance of his birth. So it's seeing, feeling deeply in an emotional way, not in a composed way. Because Reuven is criticized here for his impulsivity. Yaakov says, Pachas kamayim al toser. You're impulsive. You're impetuous. This is the midah of the feelers. People who are feelers. And we all have a little feeler in us. Right? People who are feelers live life much deeper than cold, clinical, kalta people. They live life much deeper. They're more empathetic. Their ruchnius is deeper, but the danger of the feelers, if they don't learn composure, is feelings bring impulsivity, right? Feelers can be very passionate feelers. Thomas Dekayet, Reuven's, can be very, very dangerous. Pachas Kamayim Al Toser. And you'll discover many other facets of Reuven from this perspective, including the story within the greater Mechiras Yosef narrative, when Yosef, disguised as the Egyptian viceroy, Tzafnas Paneach, right, is playing really tough here, bring down Binyamin, right? And Yaakov refuses to allow Binyamin to head down, and the brothers are desperately negotiating with him. We need food, we need food, we need food. And what does Reuven say? I'm going to take responsibility for him. Eshnei Banayamas. Father, if I don't bring him back, right? He swears on the life of his two children. The two children should die. How does Yaakov respond according to Chazal? Rashi says he used the words, Bechar Shota, you stupid firstborn. What? You think you're placating me? That you're going to pawn away my Einoklach here? Right? I would argue, Bechar Shota. It's stupid, but he's not a stupid person. He's one of the shift they caught. It's emotional provocation. We need to get a job done. And when you're driven, certain people with tunnel vision who are also very emotional, I have to get a job done, right? He's called a shota and a bachar shota. Firstborns are classically, in birth order, associated with type A personalities, taking responsibility for the family. We're going to do it. We're going to get it done. And if you have a type A personality who's also very emotional, this is the bachar. This is the firstborn, ambitious, aggressive, but he's a Bachar Shota. It's all in line with his Mida here. And from Yaakov's point of view, here you go again, right? You feel it, you have an agenda, and there you are, about to cause catastrophic, irreparable harm. And I want to be very, very sympathetic as we think about Chodesh Tammuz and the icon of Chodesh Tammuz Reuven. I want to be very, very sympathetic to the feelers. First of all, many people in this room are feelers. But we all have a little feeler in us. The midah of each shevet is within every single Jew, as the Sfarim derived from the Birchas Yaakov, when it says at the end, he gave all the shvatim each other's brachas. It means whatever shevet I'm from, you're from, we have all of this in us. So we all have a little Reuven in us. We all have that space, which is very, the feeler, very emotional, very Thomistic, right? And the lesson should not be to be less emotional. People who are more the kalta, fill in the blank, are usually very critical. You have to be cold, clinical, controlled. But they're not appreciating as the feeler. This is who they are, they're moving. And they're supposed to live life deeper. But there's a way to bring composure into feeling, which is going to ensure that the emotion is a vehicle for their values, not undermining their values, not determining their values. You know, certainly one model for this in Svar Makdoshim is Moach Shalit Al Halev, a person who's supposed to be emotional. We don't believe in a cold, clinic, robotic Judaism of prosaic ritual. We believe in emotionalism, but it's an emotion which has to come from clear-headed thinking, mindfulness, right? And that is, in my assessment, according to the pattern which I am tracing, that is really the meat of this Chiddush and the challenge of this Chiddush. I'm thinking about a story right now which really impressed this upon me, sensitivity to this dynamic. I believe you have many gifted people, even great people, who are feelers. That's why they're so tuned, they're so sensitive, they're, right? But they struggle with this impetuousness, pachas kamai. I'll never forget a certain very gifted individual whom I respect. But in an emotional outburst, their mom shall feel it, and in an emotional outburst, they almost sever a very important relationship. Right? They almost really, to the credit of the recipient of the outburst, they didn't go run. They turned around and they said, you know, you're so gifted. You're so capable. How you are capable of greatness. If only you would rein yourself in. Don't be little. Don't be a petty person. And I thought to myself, wow. And how many gedolim in the broader sense, people who could really achieve great things. How many diamonds are stuck in this rut of not learning the art of composed emotionalism, right? Of being reined in, right? Think about people you know in your life. There's a lot to that person, right? They're very intense. There's a lot to them. And if they would only be able to rein in all of that passionate, heated stuff, they can only rein it in, right? Rather than losing control, how amazing they would be. Expanding the pattern, because that's always our goal in Machshava. Machshava works through connectivity, shlemus, harmonious picture, right? So I'm convinced that when we think about Shivas or Batamas, the 3 weeks, the onset of the 3 weeks in this Chiddush, we will see how this inyan of Re'iyah, impulsivity, passion has a lot to do with the Puranis of Shivas or Batamas and Tisha B'Av. Right? Certainly the build up towards Tisha B'Av, which is the night of tears, Lal HaBechiyah, has a lot to do with that image of the Tamas who is crying. But let's trace it more. What is the first Puranius of Tisha B'Av? The first tragedy of Tisha B'Av, Shivas HaBatamas, I apologize. What is the first Puranius of Shivas HaBatamas? Egel / Shviras HaLuchos. If you think about the story of Egel, on a very simple, basic level, it all began with what? Lack of patience. Lack of patience. Lack of patience merged with fright, right? They weren't patient. Moshe has not arrived, so we have a problem here. But let's give this one some time. That's everything Aaron was seeking to do. Just give them time. Let Moshe come back, right? But because the people had a provocation, according to their calculations, Moshe's not here. Moshe's not here. Well, this threw them into a frenzy. A frenzy from a very understandable place of fear. In which we're stuck here in the middle of the Midbar, without Moshe or Porter on high, this is a very scary situation. So, excellent. Gavriel is in some of the imagery of the time is in the fire of the eagle. Excellent, Gavaltic. So the emotional provocation / the fire, and we have the term Re'iyah again and again in the story. For example, when the Pasuk opens the story. Vayar ha'am ki boshes Moshe. They saw Moshe had not arrived. They saw, and the Re'iyah provoked them. And then you have the expression of Rashi, b'shem the Medrash. They saw an image. The satan confused them with a re'iyah, with an image of what? Moshe's coffin in Shemayim. Now, whatever these satanic koyachas hatoma images are about, that's above my pay grade, but the Derech Avoda, as we are supposed to relate to it, the notion of seeing something confusing, right? Which scares you and creates fright and takes possession of you, enraptures you, is that seeing a vision, right? A vision that derails you, right? That is exactly what we're dealing with, re'iyah, with provocation in the concept, in the context of times. Now listen to this in this perspective. Re'iyah / emotionalism. Now trace the mida k'neged mida. When Moshe comes down the mountain, Moshe is of course the emissary of the divine. When Moshe simply hears about the Yegel, how does Moshe respond? He's still in high, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him about the Yegel. And Moshe is Sanigar and Shal Yisrael. He defends them, no problem. However, what does it say? Kashakar v'hamachana, when Moshe draws close, Vayar v'Yegel. He sees the Yegel in the cholos and the dancing, Vayicharaf Moshe. He sees and he becomes enraged. Do you not see the mida k'neged mida? You are a people of the sordid combo of re'iyah / emotional provocation. So when Moshe not simply hears but sees the ego, on behalf of the divine, he responds with immediate emotional provocation and a consequence of a catastrophic consequence. Vayashloch miyadav asaluchas vayashav v'isem. Re'iyah, emotion, breakage. Not a coincidence. That's the greater pattern of this story in this Chiddush. And I'm going to trace the same general theme. Not only in the story of Egel and Shiris HaLuchas in this Chiddush, but another tragedy which is associated with this greater Chiddush. Right? One which is literally Nogea today, as we are today, or as we are, the next few days are upon us, right? The onset of Chiddush Tammuz. What happened the last day of Sivan? Right? The last day of Sivan in the second year. That was when this week's Parsha Shlach occurs. The Gemara says at the end of Tainus, Moshe sent the Meraglim the last day before Rosh Chiddush Tammuz. And hence the 40 days of scouting the land are really primarily Chiddush Tammuz. And that 10 days, right? The Tishbo / the 10th of Av into Av, right? So it is so perfectly aligned that Tammuz is really the beginning of the Maaseh Meraglim, timely this time of year, Shlach this time of year. Zakar Mento, it's all a story of Re'iyah. It's Re'iyah L'Rah, right? It's Re'iyah L'Rah associated with the season, and especially powerful when you appreciate this is the build-up to Tisha B'Av and the Lel B'Chiyah and the entire picture which this season is pivoting towards, right? The Re'iyah L'Rah on a very simple level. On a level of Pshat, the Meraglim, see giants, and it frightens them. See vivid imagery, which provokes them, and they don't have the composure of bitachon, which allows them to digest, deal with. This is the mita of the chaydish, and everything it provokes, fright, but everything. What are some of the other corrosive emotions when we become enraptured by emotion? It could be shiftless. Right, low self-esteem, but you be'inenu kechagavama, seeing lowliness. Right, this is us. This is our story. This is our story. Right, and we so relate to this today. Triggers, emotional triggers. How many people? We're talking to ourselves. How many people have emotional triggers to feeling lowly, feeling like a loser, feeling like a you know what? This is re'iyah / emotional trigger, all in the context of this chiddush. Let me take this one further step, and I'll conclude with this. In a certain sense, the kunst then, which I'm arguing is not, the takeaway message is not don't be a feeler. Okay. Kalta, blank people, they will say be a controlled robot. Right? That is not the message. The message is moch shal alef, feel, but feel with composure. Mayach shal al halef. Right? So you could argue in a certain sense, the idea here is when you see, when you experience a stimulant, create some sort of space between the vision and the heart. Process through your mind. See? Process through your mind and then respond with your heart. powerful from that perspective that in the story of Parsha Shlach this week's Parsha and the Meraglim story of this Chodesh, we find the Lev figure. In a certain sense, the Meraglim is an experience of seeing with the eyes and seeing with the heart as well. There's not a space between the eyes and the heart. I'll tell you how I see this. We've discussed in the past my bookend theory. Every parsha in the Torah has cohesive bookends. It begins and ends with symmetrical phenomena. Now, Shlach is an easy one. It begins with the story of the Meraglim Masoras Arts, and it ends with the parsha of Tzitzis. The Lois Asur Achrei Levachim Vachrei Necha. Do not allow yourself to be led astray by the spies, the lustful eyes, the lustful heart. And we've discussed this pattern in the past. The Meraglim and Veloisa Sura. So think about the words Veloisa Sura as the apogee of the Meraglim narrative. Do not scout after, or do not be led astray by the scouts of your eyes and your heart. It's a very strange expression. If we wouldn't say it twice a day in Shema, I think we'd be more struck by it. Veloisa Sura Achrei Necha Maget. Do not scout after your eyes. But scouting with the heart? It's a strange expression. We think of Meraglim with the eyes, but no. Meraglim is with the heart as well. When a person sees provocation and immediately feels it, when the eyes and the heart work in tandem without a space of processing in between, it's a v'lois asura achari levav kham v'acharei nechem. The heart and the eyes together. And you see this in the story of the Meraglim as well. A lot of heart with the eyes. It's the Pasuk in Parshas Devarim when it speaks of the Meraglim back then. Ona achinu himasnu es l'aveinu. Our brothers have melted our hearts. The Meraglim saw and they melted B'nai Israel's hearts. The hearts and the eyes, both in the story of the Meraglim proper and in the Velos Asuru, the message of this Chodesh Tammuz story is we need to create some space between powerful stimulants and the heart. And that space, I'm going to suggest, is the mind processing. We need a process before emotion overtakes us. And then we can truly achieve great things. We are going to be the greatest people we could be if we are deeply emotional, but if the emotion services our values, not undermines our values. Right? And I'll just conclude with a story which made a very deep impression on me. See if it speaks to you the same way it spoke to me. Happened more than 20 years ago here in Baltimore. A family, I know the father's actually a very prominent Talmud Chacham, and there was a tragedy which should have been a simcha. It was a bar mitzvah night in the family, and you had relatives visiting from out of town, and Nebuch, there was a horrible car crash, right? It was a fatality. They were injured. And the father, this Talmud Chacham, he conducted himself at the bar mitzvah as if nothing happened. He gave his son what he needed, the bar mitzvah bracha what he needed, right? He gave the guests what they needed. And some people were like, it's great what he did. But does he not have a heart? And they so missed the boat. He was engaged in the greatest sensitivity, right? He processed. There are issues in the family that need to be dealt with. But there's a bar mitzvah, my son, it's his night. This is his night. And it's only going to happen one time. It's his night, right? He didn't act the way he did because he felt less. But because he felt more. But he was a sophisticated feeler. He had the ability to process, right? Sensitivities, emotion, and sort them out to be the most sophisticated, empathetic feeler. That was a very, very powerful to me. That, I'm believing, is the avoid of Chodesh Tammuz. May we be zeichen Chodesh Tammuz not simply to endure the heat, but everything heat represents, emotional provocation represents, to be able to process it, deal with it, and hence live life deeply through emotion, without letting emotion dominate us. May we all be zeichen l'kach amen. Kein yehi ratzon, good Shabbos, and a good Chodesh Tammuz. Thank you. Very good.
There's a Taisus that talks about the difference between the Vaz and the Yid and the Go.